"Wonderful," the red-haired king cried out, "the son of my dearest friend here in my own house, that man who performed 100 feats of arms for me. And I swore that when he came I'd give him a hero's welcome, him above all my comrades, if only Olympian Zeus, far-seeing Zeus, had granted us both safe passage home across the sea in our swift-trimmed ships. Why, I'd have settled a city in Argos for him, built him a palace, shipped him over from Ithaca, him and all his wealth, his son, his people too, emptied one of the cities nestling round about us, one I rule myself. Both fellow countrymen then, how often we'd have mingled side by side. Nothing could have parted us, bound by love for each other, mutual delight, till death's dark cloud came shrouding round us both. But God himself, jealous of all this, no doubt, robbed that unlucky man, him and him alone, of the day of his return." So Menelaus mused, and stirred in them all a deep desire to grieve. Helen of Argos, daughter of Zeus, dissolved in tears. Telemachus wept too, and so did Atreus' son Menelaus. Nor could Nestor's son Pisistratus stay dry-eyed, remembering now his gallant brother Antilochus, cut down by Memnon, splendid son of the morning. Thinking of him, the young prince broke out, "Old Nestor always spoke of you, son of Atreus, as the wisest man of all the men he knew, whenever we talked about you there at home, questioning back and forth. So now, please, if it isn't out of place, indulge me, won't you? Myself, I take no joy in weeping over supper. Morning will soon bring time enough for that. Not that I'd grudge a tear for any man gone down to meet his fate. What other tribute can we pay to wretched men than to cut a lock, let tears roll down our cheek? And I have a brother of my own among the dead, and hardly the poorest soldier in our ranks. You probably knew him. I never met him, never saw him myself. But they say he outdid our best. Antilochus, lightning on his feet and every inch a fighter." "Well said, my friend," the red-haired king replied. "Not even an older man could speak and do as well. Your father's son you are. Your words have all his wisdom. It's easy to spot the breed of a man whom Zeus has marked for joy in birth and marriage both. Take great King Nestor now. Zeus has blessed him all his livelong days, growing rich and sleek in his old age at home, his sons expert with spears and full of sense. Well, so much for the tears that caught us just now. Let's think again of supper. Come, rinse our hands. Tomorrow, at dawn, will offer me and Telemachus time to talk and trade our thoughts in full." Asphalion quickly rinsed their hands with water, another of King Menelaus's ready aids in arms. Again they reached for the good things set before them. Then Zeus's daughter Helen thought of something else. Into the mixing bowl from which they drank their wine she slipped a drug, heart's ease, dissolving anger, magic to make us all forget our pains. No one who drank it deeply mulled in wine could let a tear roll down his cheeks that day. Not even if his mother should die, his father die, not even if right before his eyes some enemy brought down a brother or darling son with a sharp bronze blade. So cunning the drugs that Zeus's daughter plied, potent gifts from Polydamna, the wife of Thone, a woman of Egypt, land where the teeming soil bears the richest yield of herbs in all the world, many health itself when mixed in the wine, and many deadly poisons. Every man is a healer there, more skilled than any other men on earth. Egyptians born of the healing god himself. So now Helen, once she had drugged the wine and ordered wine cups filled, resuming the conversation, entertained the group. "My royal king Menelaus, welcome guests here, sons of the great as well. Zeus can present us times of joy and times of grief in turn. All lies within his power. So come, let's sit back in the palace now, dine and warm our hearts with the old stories. I will tell something perfect for the occasion. Surely I can't describe or even list them all, the exploits crowding fearless Odysseus's record. But what a feat that hero dared and carried off in the land of Troy, where you Achaeans suffered, scarring his own body with mortifying strokes, throwing filthy rags on his back like any slave. He slipped into the enemy's city, roamed its streets, all disguised, a totally different man, a beggar, hardly the figure he cut among Achaea's ships. That's how Odysseus infiltrated Troy.